This morning, as I was getting ready, out of nowhere, my phone started to buzz. Now, I don't know about you, but when my phone starts buzzing at 5 o'clock in the morning, not a time my phone usually buzzes, I start to think, uh-oh, what's wrong? So with a little fear and trepidation, I looked at my phone and discovered that it was a friend of mine texting into one of our group chats. You see, this friend of mine is currently on vacation in a time zone that is slightly ahead of us, and he forgot that it was O-Dark 30 here in Rhode Island as he was taunting us with images from his vacation. So my friends and I are texting back and forth a little bit, and it comes to an end, and I go back to getting ready. About an hour later, my phone buzzed again. And I thought it was another one of my friends in this thread. I thought, oh great, John's going to have a real zinger to get back at Greg. But when I looked at my phone this time, it wasn't a text message that caused my phone to buzz. It was a push notification from the New York Times. And it read, at least 5 killed, 18 injured in shooting at LGBTQ nightclub. My heart sank. I sat down on a chair and clicked on the article and started reading and learned that just before midnight last night, there was a shooting at a queer nightclub, Club Q, in Colorado Springs. So I sat there absorbing that information. Instantly, my mind flashed back to the summer of 2016 when on a Sunday morning, just like this one, woke up to a different news push about the Pulse nightclub shooting, where ultimately 49 people were shot and killed. And as I sat there, image after image came to mind of LGBT people being harmed, being killed because of their identity, for daring to be in spaces that are part of the community, for daring to claim who they are. Things like the murder of Matthew Shepard, the assassination of Harvey Milk. Even going farther back to things before my lifetime, like the Upstairs Lounge fire in August of 1973 in New Orleans. A time when some of those 20-something people who were killed that night still are unknown, because that was an era in which if you were out, you could lose everything. The more I sat there, the more I started to think of these images. Even thinking about things that are happening a little closer to home, because stuff like this doesn't just happen elsewhere. Back in April, 4 people were beaten up outside one of the dance clubs in Providence, one that I frequent most weekends. As I sat there, I then realized today is November 20th. Since 1999, November 20th has been known as Trans Day of Remembrance, the day when we remember people who are transgender and gender nonconforming who have been killed since the last November 20th because of their identity. This day, across this country, vigils will happen in which the names of those who have been killed are read. The same names we read back on November 2nd as part of our All Souls Day Requiem Eucharist. As I sat there this morning looking at my phone, I thought about the text that I got last night from friends saying, Dante, where are you? Are you going to come out and join us? Come on, it's not that late. You can still get up early tomorrow morning. Padre, where are you? And I wondered how many people in Colorado Springs this morning woke up to similar texts, knowing those would be the last things their friends have ever sent them. It was a pretty dark morning in my apartment, and not just because, like, at that hour, it's still dark outside. And then I realized, like, I had to get myself together because, like, you know, there's church to be done. And so I tried to focus and think about what we did this morning. And I realized that what we do this morning says something important. What we do today is a repudiation of the darkness of last night and all the other nights that have come before. Today's the last Sunday after Pentecost. That's the official name of this day, though colloquially it's known as Christ the King Sunday. Now, in fairness, Christ the King Sunday is actually a feast day on the Roman Catholic calendar. It's even a feast day on the Lutheran calendar, but it's not one on ours yet, though I suspect in time it will get added to our calendar as well. This is a relatively new feast day. In 1925, Pope Pius XI added this day to this calendar, and he institutes this feast as he sees the world around him growing in secularism and nationalism. This is on the heels of the Great War. He sees the world around him filled with chaos and confusion, needing an anchor. He sees faithful needing to be reminded of whose is it that we are subject to? Who is our ruler and king? And we got to be careful when we talk about Jesus as king, because we can easily put all sorts of imageries and things onto Jesus, right? When we think about kings, we think about, you know, grand castles and moats and all the finest and flowing robes and sumptuous feasts. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think of like King Henry with the big turkey leg and the photos, right? Think about armies standing ready to defend the kingdom. But that's not the kind of king Jesus is. Jesus doesn't seek honorifics and glory for himself. Even more so, history has told us that sometimes kings and earthly rulers don't always do the greatest things. We've seen people amass wealth on the backs of the poor, the oppressed, those crying out in hunger. We've seen rulers waging war, invading other nations for gain influence. I mean, we're seeing that unfold in the world at this very moment. We see people, we see leaders waging Holocaust and genocide to try to put forward some deranged idea of what the world should be like. Earthly kings and rulers don't always get it right. But there's Jesus offering a different way forward. Now, when we think about Christ the King Sunday, we might think of like, oh, that'd be a great Sunday to hear the story of the Transfiguration, right? Jesus up on the mountaintop in raiment, white and glistening. Jesus in majestic glory. Maybe something out of the book of Revelation when Jesus comes in majesty to judge the living and the dead. Maybe Jesus on walking water, one of those miracle stories. But that's not what we get today. Today we hear the crucifixion, Luke's account of Jesus' death. And so we might think of kings reigning on golden thrones. This morning we see our king reigning from a tree. We see the principles of the kingdom to which we belong be principles of love, of forgiveness, of mercy. I mean, right, as they're taunting Jesus, what's the first thing we hear Jesus say today? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when the criminal next to him is deriding him, the other one says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We see Jesus asking for forgiveness for others. We see Jesus giving mercy because he says to that criminal, today you'll be with me in paradise. This day we are reminded that it's not power and glory and wealth and might that we are to strive for in this kingdom to which we belong. It's love, it's forgiveness, it's mercy. I think it's particularly fitting in this moment that we hear the crucifixion on this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday after Pentecost, technically. Because when Jesus is crucified, when Jesus is lifted from the earth, he lifts with him all the pain and the brokenness and the suffering which we face. When Jesus is lifted from the earth, and as he bears those wounds and those scars, Jesus brings the scars of all those who die by violence because of who they are. All those whose lives were carelessly shed because of hatred and bigotry. All those lives who are wasted because of greed and power. All the brokenness and grief that so many wake up to this morning, Jesus brings that with him to the very throne of God. That might be healed and transformed in God's resurrected glory. Because if you notice, when Jesus is resurrected, and like, we'll talk more about this in a few months when we get there, but I'll give you a preview. When Jesus is resurrected, those scars and wounds don't go away. Right? That's how the disciples recognize him up the room. That's how Thomas says, right? Let me touch your hands and the wounds in your side. Jesus continues to bear those wounds, but they have been restored. They've been redeemed in God's resurrected glory. It doesn't diminish the pain and the anguish and the grief we know in this life, but it gives us comfort that this is not the end. That violence and pain and tragedy are not the final notes of the story. There is something more to come. The kingdom which our Lord ushers in. This day, let us pray for Colorado Springs. Let us pray for all places of war and violence, for all those who grieve, for all those lives that were cut far too short. Let us pray that our King might bring peace, that our King might bring love, that our King might bring forgiveness and mercy to this world, that our lives might be transformed, that we might be redeemed, and that we might share in the work God is already doing to make this world look a little bit more like the world to come.